Hello, friends. Let me welcome you to HAL Radio.
Paige Harley. Great-grandpa Hal lives through her. Paige will talk about Hal Jackson's Golden Angels, his family, and friends.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Paige. It's Paige Harley. My show is called Great-grandpa Hal Lives Through Me. Today, I am going to interview Edmund Harley. We call him Uncle Edmund. How are you doing, Uncle Edmund?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day in California, as usual, and I was kind of sitting back watching a movie, but I'm glad to hear from you. How are you?
Good. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Fantastic. Go ahead.
What's your hobby? What do you do for fun?
Well, I have one hobby which is very good is I'm working out a lot now. I've been doing it since I was 15 years old. I've joined and belong to a number of health clubs, and I just enjoy lifting weights and doing cardio exercises and swimming. Swimming is one of my passions from way back. I used to swim a lot when I was a young man and a teenager. I was a lifeguard, and I made a living at it when I was in the summertime when I was 15, 16, and 17 years old, rescuing kids from the pool when their parents would just leave them. And I've always enjoyed racing the young men, but I can't race them and beat them like I used to. But I still like to stay healthy and go to the gym. It relaxes me, it relieves stress, and it's helped to control my weight. I'm not overweight, and I always feel good, so my newest hobby basically is working out. The club I belong to now is called 24 Hour Fitness, but I belong to Bally's and many others from that time. The first one I joined, I was 15 years old, and I've been joining one club or another ever since.
How many siblings do you have?
I have three siblings. I have two brothers and a half-sister. I have, by my father and another marriage, I have Eric, which is your father. I have Eugene, which is my oldest brother. I'm in the middle. And then there's Alyssa, by a previous marriage, a later marriage with my father.
How many children do you have?
I have three children. The oldest one is EJ. Or Edmund Jr., we call him EJ. Then comes Jason. Jason Eugene Harley, his middle name is from my brother. And then there's Desmond Eugene Harley. Desmond is his middle name comes from my brother Eugene. And it's Jason Edward Harley. That's his middle name comes from Mary's brother. And it's funny about middle names because Desmond and Eugene are very much alike, and I would have never known that naming him because he was a baby. But with growing up with Eugene, and we're only 1 year and 3 months apart, and watching Desmond grow up, the similarities in their personalities are amazing. It's almost like a clone. They're very, very similar in the way that they their outlooks on life.
How was your childhood like?
We moved a lot, so it was always moving. We moved a lot. We lived in a lot of different homes, so we didn't really make friends that lasted very long times, but it made us close as siblings, me, your father, and Gene. Since we always had each other, we always, we knew wherever we lived, we always had each other, but we did move a lot, and I had a paper route. They don't do that anymore, but it used to be a time when the young teenagers, the early teenagers, 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, would deliver the papers in the morning and the afternoon. And in Washington, where I grew up, there was the Washington Post and the Washington Times. The Washington Post was delivered in the morning time, and the Washington Times was delivered in the evening. So I would deliver the Washington Post, Gene and I, and we would basically get up early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and go pick up our papers and deliver it to everyone's home that had a subscription. And so that was what I would do every day, 7 days a week, and then I would go to school after that. We also belonged to a travel club, and we sold raffle tickets and Amway products door-to-door, which is interesting because that's why we all were in some form of sales, because we actually have been selling for most of our lives. And then I had other jobs. I was a short-order cook. I worked a lot. I worked a lot. It's funny when I watch some of my children that they haven't had a job yet, especially Jason at 16, because by the time I was 16, I had about 6 or 7 jobs. So it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. We did have time when we could play and do other things. So yeah, it was a good job.
Why did you move to California?
I moved to California because I used to watch the football games on television, and it would be winter. It'd be cold in Washington. And there would be the USC-UCLA game, and the people would be in short sleeve shirts, and the sun would be beaming down like summertime, and I just used to I used to want to just live there. And then there were movies that used to come out, surfer movies, Beach Blanket Bingo, and How to Tame a Wild Bikini, and all these movies that were made about the California lifestyle. And, of course, the Beach Boys and the music that was coming out of California. And I always wanted to live, and I waited a long time before I moved. But I've been here since 1995, so I've been here 20 years now. And there's no other place in the United States and probably in the country that has a better climate. We do need rain now because we're not getting much rain. But in terms of the weather, every day is a beautiful day. Every day. You never have to come out and say, oh, it's going to rain today, or it's cold today, or I need a sweater. It's beautiful, 70 degrees every day, nice breeze, beautiful beaches, beautiful people, just a great place to live. But I kind of don't like to be so separated from you guys because almost all the family is on the East Coast. So that's a problem. The only other family member out here is Olivia, my granddaughter. And she lives out here because she was born here.
How many nieces and nephews do you have?
Whoa, on both sides. I need to write these down. I already messed up with the boys' middle names. Let me see. Okay, I got you two, Eric and Paige. And then I got John's son, Jay. That's 3. And she doesn't have any, and then a couple of more. Oh, yeah, John has another daughter, Jamia, so that's 4. That's not really that many now that I think about it. It's 4, and then there's some that are through marriage. There's more that come through marriage. But on both sides of the family, I guess, yeah, 2 on each side, 2 from my side of the family and 2 from my wife's marriage side of the family. So there's 4. Really, that's not that many. We need to get to work out here. Everyone's so young, so I shouldn't have very many nieces and nephews, but really, I guess.
What do you do for a living? What's your life like today?
Well, I do 2 things. I work on the environment. I work for a company called Pure Green, and basically we try to help companies cut their carbon footprint. So that has to do with a lot of recycling and energy saving. So we do a lot on that. I do have a small business on the side where I do merchant accounts for credit cards. So I help business. That's called the H Bank card. I opened that in 2001. And that basically sets up merchant accounts so businesses can take credit cards. And that business is changing. That's an exciting business now. They have the new chip cards coming out, which maybe replace all my machines. But they had to have chip readers. But it's a cashless society. Not too many people carry cash. A lot of things are done now through your phone or through a card with a chip on it. And eventually, with technology, it'll go to a thumbprint or an eye scan or something like that for security reasons. But the time when you used to have to carry money and cash are pretty well eliminated. So that's one part of the business. The other part that I'm very passionate about is the environment, because I think that the environment is being destroyed. One of my biggest issues is plastic. Plastic bottles, everything made of plastic, because some forms of plastic, what they call number 7 plastic, it has a life cycle of 500 years. And just to imagine producing something that's going to last for 500 years in the environment without people recycling it is devastating, because it can get in the oceans, the rivers. We can overflow in it. So it's a passion of mine that we should cut down on the amount of plastic. Not so much for me, because I'm 56 years old, I'm getting older, but for your group, for the younger kids, we got to leave a planet that you guys can survive in. If we keep destroying it, then it's going to be very difficult on you guys when you get to be my age and your children, and it may be even become uninhabitable. So that's a passion of mine. I'm very involved in the environment. I educate businesses, especially manufacturers, on what they can do so that they don't destroy the planet. And I get paid to do it.
That's all the questions I have. I love you, Uncle Edmund. Goodbye.
I love you too, Paige. Goodbye.
And now we will hear from the Golden Angels, my great-grandpa Hal's senior citizens.
Hello, Elaine. Glad to talk with you.
Oh, hi. My name is Elaine S. Cherry. I am part of the Hal Jackson's Legacy, Golden Angels, and I joined the Angels, I think, almost 2 years ago, and I have been so happy that I did join Hal Jackson's Golden Angel. It has taken me to many, many places that I thought I would never have an opportunity to do so. And what I do is Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou. I guess you might remember she is a great poet that passed away a couple of years ago. Well, when she passed away, I was able to perform 5 different times after she had passed away. Never thought I could do anything like that, but I am so grateful that I am part of it now. So I guess I can say that it has been enjoyable. I talk about it all the time, and I'm always ready to perform.
Okay. Tell us what you did before you retired.
Oh, before I retired, I was a nurse at Providence Hospital for 34 years, spending 20 years in the emergency room, and the other 10 years I was med surgery.
That sounds really exciting. What are some of the exciting things that happened? You're in the hospital and many important things go on. What are some of the important things that you remember?
Well, some of the things that I remember so very, very well, the first thing, you got to be able to be up on your toes all the time. You got to be quick, got to be ready to do things. We would have a mini coach that would come in. When I say coach, I mean that a patient is suffering from heart failure, maybe, or maybe shortness of breath, I should say, because it hasn't been diagnosed. But we're in, and we have cold rooms there that we put these patients in and get to work on them and start things going. So, well, that was one of the things that I liked very, very much when I was there, was just being able to be on hand when that happens. You know, the other patients that I had, many other patients that came in complaining of shortness of breath, but we also had some OB patients, GYN patients coming in as well. And when those patients come in, one of the patients I had that was very exciting was that she came in complaining of severe abdominal pain. And of course, she ended up being expected to deliver. And the way we ran to the emergency, the OB, running upstairs so fast because she was already ready. And I thought that was exciting as well. And the most common things that we had many times were simple lacerations. Of course, I learned how to do many, many things after I got there. I was afraid to be in the ER at first, but then I learned to like it because I was able to learn so much and how to do and how to treat my patients. And I never thought that I would be the way that I was, but I got involved with my patients, and I realized that at that particular time, Providence Hospital was part of some clinic or another. So we would get patients in repeatedly. And so I never thought that if our patients came in and said they ran out of their medicine, so that's why they got sick, so they came in to see us, to get some help. But if we can give them the help, we can also give them something sometimes, depending what it was, it would take them for a few more days. I never thought just giving them a prescription and tell them to go home because they ain't got no money to get it. But we were a part of somebody's clinic. I can't remember what that clinic was back then. But now I think it may be different. I think nursing is different than what we did when we were there because we, all of us had a lot of caring about our patient and how we treat. Nursing was not so fast like it is now. So I'm glad that I am retired because that fast moving is maybe may have been too fast now. But I love my nursing and I love the ER. And I enjoy every bit of my work. And I will say I do miss it a little bit. I've been retired since 1993. And of course, after that, 5 years later, I became the Senior District of Columbia.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to tell us? And thank you for doing this interview.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that I'm part of it. Of the
Golden Angels. You are Mr. Hal Jackson's Golden Angels.
Yes, indeed. I am Hal Jackson's Golden Angel, and I'm proud to be so. I'm always ready to go both places when I know about it because I like to go. I'm 85. I have birthday, by the way, on Monday.
Oh, and
it was off the hook. And I am now, you know, a little late, but I don't have no canes or nothing like that. I can still walk real good. A little slower, but I'm doing all right.
Thank you, Elaine.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good
day. Hello, how are you today?
Hi, Ms. Jane Harley. I'm just fine, thank you.
Could you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes, this is Janie White. I am, I'm from Marion, South Carolina. I'm 64 years young, and I am a retired registered nurse.
That's interesting, but you're very talented, too, to go along with that. But why don't you tell us about your family and, you know, South Carolina is where Hal Jackson came from. He was from Charleston, so you know I got to know about South Carolina. But tell us about down there and how you got to Washington, D.C., the area, and a little bit about what's going on.
Okay, well, I was raised in South Carolina by my mother and stepfather, Samuel Vandross, and actually, Mr. Vandross's history kind of parallels of Mr. Jackson in that he was a pioneer in the civil rights movement as well. He ran for public office down there in the Tri-County area, and during the March on Washington, he was a part of that, and so he had four daughters, myself and three sisters, and we were the first Black children that were on the segregation road down there to go to the different schools. I entered the high school, and my next sister entered the junior high. And you know, Gina, she went into the primary school, and then my other sister, LaFama, went into the grammar school. So he had four girls who were the first names on the desegregation road down there for the school districts. So, having grown up in that time, also when we would go to the theaters, we Black people had to sit in one area, and the white people sat in another area, and we lived through the time when we could all sit together. We didn't have to just sit up in the balconies and things like that. Or it's the same thing when we went to the restaurants and Woolworths and the Five and Dime. You know, there was a section for the Black and a section for the white. So we know something about struggle. And those are the kinds of things that we understand. And Mr. Jackson had to go through, where he was opening doors of opportunity for blacks and people of color in the entertainment industry. And so I can relate to his struggle very much. And I can see you as his daughter carrying on his legacy, because when I was in high school, I participated in some of the talent shows we had. And at that time, I could sing a little bit. At least I tried to sing a little bit. And so, and so I suppose that's one, I guess the first arena where I did some public talent. I didn't do speaking at that time, but at least I was in the talent show and singing. And so the next place that I did it was much later in life, when I learned the poem by Langston Hughes called The Negro Mother. And I performed that at a Black History program at my church, the New Covenant Church of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Coal Mine Manor, Maryland. And that was pretty much the only places that I had performed until Dina introduced me to you and the Golden Angels. And so with that, you afforded me the opportunity to just put some fire to that talent again and showcase it on a broader scale, and then to examine myself and see if that was the direction that I now wanted to go in, since I am retired and have the time to devote to it. So that's pretty much how I got interested in performing.
Okay. Have you enjoyed many of the things that you did? Tell us some of the things you did as a Golden Angel.
Oh, yes, indeed. First, we did the auditions over at Howard University, Blackburn Center, and that was kind of scary, but it was exciting. And then after the auditions, we went up to the Cotton Club in New York, and we performed there and had a wonderful, wonderful dinner and everything. And we also toured. We went to the Harlem Theater, where so many people were first, they got their first opportunities to audition and showcase their talent too. And then there was another place we went to. We met many talent scouts. They were in the audience, so we performed at the Cotton Club, and they were able to see what we Golden Angels could do at this age, at this stage in our lives. So really did appreciate that. And then where else did we go? We took another bus trip, and So anyway, those are the two places that I really remember off the top of my head right now. But yes, I thoroughly enjoyed those two trips. Oh yeah, the other place we went was to the BET Theater, and we watched participated in some of the filming for
Bobby Jones.
Yes, that's right. Bobby Jones is shot. Right, sure did. And those were very, very exciting as well. I remember the last one that I went to was one of the ministers sang that song, that new song that's just out called "This Is War," and that was just on fire, and it was just a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time.
Okay, well, we're so glad to hear from you, and of course, you know, Hal Jackson's very proud of his Golden Angels. What else can I say? And I want you to listen. You'll be on his internet radio, Hal Radio, and it'll be on Saturday from 6 to 7.
6 to 7. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Miss Jackson. I want to call you Miss Jackson, much. Thank you so much. We appreciate just being able to just showcase my talent at this age in my life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
I am Monica Carroll. I am the choreographer for the MC Steppers. The MC Steppers have formed in 99 when we perform at the Elder Fest. We did a combination of a line dance combined with regular dance. And from there, we have been doing the Elder Fest for a couple of years before they have stopped having the event down at Freedom Plaza. In 2001, I was working on a project. I was with the Senior Miss DC pageant. I was the choreographer. And in 2001, we did a tribute to the 9/11 victims. And from that point, the dancers were getting a lot of calls because we were in the American flag costumes and with the fella hats and gloves, and we were behind a original big flag while a person was singing God Bless America. And then from there, we got several calls from a lot of groups that was asking us to open up their show. And from there, every year for the theme of DC Pageant, I have been doing different things. And this year past, we have did a theme for the doing a tribute to Michael Jackson after his 6 years. We did the Michael Jackson tribute, and that went very well with 24 dancers. And we started off with 8 dancers. It seems like every year it just grows. The oldest dancer now is 90 years old. And the youngest dancer now is 63 years old. We continue to grow. We now do not just citywide dances in the city, but outside. We do from nursing homes to churches, and we have been performing now as a group since 99. So we hope to continue on growing and going into nursing homes, churches, big events. We did the mayor's symposium this year, which we did a last year. We did a tribute to Earth, Wind, and Fire. And this year, coming in, and well, next year, 2016, we are working on several pieces now. The pageant will be in June, so we hope to be ready by then. And one thing about the senior group, it takes us about a year as we start from September, and we go all the way through the following year up until the pageant to get ourselves prepared. But we're now the MC Steppers, the senior Miss DC dancers. We perform at the Cotton Club, and it was actually the Hal Jackson Angels. It's three of my dancers are also the Hal Jackson Angels, and then the rest of us are the group itself. And that was actually not the whole group that performed at the Cotton Club, but that was like 14 of us versus 24. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, time does fly. Here we are at the end of another week of programming. Can you believe that's the end of our show today? We hope HAL Radio has once again brought a ray of sunshine into your day, as well as uplifted your spirits. Be sure to join us again next Saturday, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember to make us your favorite station. Subscribe to us here. And also remember to visit us on the website. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/HAL Radio for even more upliftingly affirmative jewels. And remember to tell a friend or two that HAL Radio is the place for all things uplifting and positive.